The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
Yeah, so back again, Moody on the mic for another week. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as they always do, it is Peter Moody, Anthony Mitten, the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. Moods, hello to you. You've ditched the chicken crimpies just in time.
Great to be back, boys. Spring racing, big time.
You can't go wrong. That's right. Another ripping week ahead of us. The AFL's finished. It's all about the racing. For those who downloaded last week's episode early, bit of a treat. You got the wrong podcast because I produced two and I accidentally uploaded the wrong one to the feed for the first half hour. Shout out to a couple of very loyal listeners who alerted me to that fact on Twitter within that first half hour. We got the right one out quick. Didn't affect our numbers, thank goodness. And just as well, because it was a good weekend for the Moody Racing Stable. Hasn't been a good week for the Melbourne Cup place getters of last year. Obviously, we know Incentivise is already out for the spring. Very elegant, at this point of time, does not have a run in the Arc de Triomphe after Connections paid up the late acceptance fee. And Mood Spanish Mission, unfortunately, out for the spring as well. We're out, potentially, career over.
Yes. Very ordinary yesterday for the Moody Racing Camp. Spanish Mission.
Bob's not happy.
No, Bob's not happy either. Spanish Mission sustained an injury to his near foreleg, and it's ruled him out of the spring. And I would very much suggest it's probably just about brought out the curtain on his career. Very disappointing. We thought he was going tremendous. He was in great order, and it's the first time a vet's ever visited him in the 12 months he's been to my stables was yesterday. So just one of those things, unfortunately.
And I suppose the good news, though, is you've still got a nice little team assembled for the spring. You might not have a Melbourne Cup or a Caulfield Cup hope this year, but you've got a nice little team. And a nice little horse you bought out of New Zealand called I Wish I Win that just got the job done at the weekend, despite everyone who jumped off at the short quite absolutely shitting themselves at the 200.
Well, I don't know why they were panicking. You know, he was only a length off the second horse at that point. And, listen, he's a nice horse. He got the job done well again. We're slowly building his rating. And now with that win under his belt in a stakes race, it probably guarantees him a run in better races going forward.
Ray Mann, has he got a mortgage on the Group 1 next weekend?
Well, if we can get him in the field, that's step one. But I think if we get I Wish I Win in the field, I certainly won't be betting against him. I'll be, it'll be a chips in job for me. I've been very impressed from everything we've seen for the horse. I did for one fleeting second think we were in a bit of trouble in the test roster on Saturday. But just as quickly as I thought that, the horse got himself out of trouble if he was in trouble, put a length on his rivals, and then Luke eased him up, and it was looked like after we should never have been worried. It ended up being a classy and soft win in the end. So I think he's something pretty special, and hopefully we do see him go to that Toorak, and then potentially Ladbrokes Cox Plate. I'm still hopeful.
Well, why don't you ask the question of him, because I've got a funny feeling that that Moods is going to give it to Manus Labuschagne and just play that straight back down the line.
One
where
race
are we going?
We're
going to the Cox Plate? Cox Plate Golden Eagle? What are we thinking?
One race at a time. Let's go. Let's worry about the Toorak next Saturday first. I'm a very conservative, aren't I, Anthony?
You are, Peter, and it's freaking shits us. Just tell us that the horse is going to Ladbrokes Cox Plate because he's got Cox Plate written all over him. Have you got any doubts that he could show up and perform admirably in the 2022 Ladbrokes Cox Plate?
Well, he's just won a 1,300 metre listed
handicap
at Sandown on Sunday.
Have you got any doubts that he would run well in this year's Ladbrokes Cox Plate?
Will he run 2,000 metres?
These are the questions that you need to pose in your answer.
Well, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's not get punters' hopes up.
You just try him in a benchmark 2,000, will you, when you've got a Cox Plate staring you in the face, perfectly mapped out for you in a program sense?
Well, we'll go to the Toorak and then we'll assess his options after that. Let's try and win a group race with him first. Let's not worry about the biggest and strongest weight for age classic race in Australian racing. Let's worry about just winning a group race off the back of a listed win first.
What about those Ladbrokes punters that just want to have something on him in the Ladbrokes Cox plate? Best racing day of the carnival. What about those people, Peter? Have you considered them whilst you keep all this information in that buffet brain of yours? Give us something. Give them something. That's why they're listening, Peter. They've been dying to download this podcast and find out, will I have 50 on I Wish I Win in the Ladbrokes Cox plate? Tell them. Give them something. Give them some hope.
I would dearly love the horse to be in the Cox plate, but I'm not going to cost you money and suggest you should be betting on the futures at this point when you'll probably get exactly the same price as he is today on the day of the race.
He is $2.40 for the Toorak, but in the Cox plate market, I know one bookmaker that I saw potentially overreacted at the weekend, single figures for the Ladbrokes Cox plate. Not the folk at Ladbrokes, though. Ladbrokes has still got him $15 for the Ladbrokes Cox plate. So there's still plenty of value. If you are happy to take the risk, you can get 15 bucks on Ladbrokes, and I think that's just about the best price going around. Certainly a lot better than one or two of the other operators.
It is probably a stretch, though, isn't it, Rain Man, to say that, you know, I Wish I Win is a better four-year-old than Animo.
Yeah, I think that, as Mood said before, he won the Testa Rossa Stakes, and I love Testa Rossa as a horse, and I would love to win the Testa Rossa Stakes, but we don't necessarily think Testa Rossa Stakes is a key lead-up to the Ladbrokes Cox plate. So even the Toorak handicap hasn't been a lead-up to the Ladbrokes Cox plate for a long time. So he would have to be something special. We're hoping that he is something special, but what we've seen thus far does just give us that little bit of hope. But I think $15 is probably around the right mark. But I guess the other thing we're sort of saying is outside Animo now, after that Underwood Stakes on Sunday, has that left us with more questions and answers about the Ladbrokes Cox plate? We probably got a good answer with Alligator Blood that he won't be completely unsuited at 2,000 metres. He was gallant, but jury's out a little bit on Zaki. Is he going as well as he did 12 as he was 12 months ago? I'm thunderstruck. Could he be? Moods often talks about horses that are run on sprinters that we think are crying out for a mile, but they're actually run on sprinters. Is I'm Thunderstruck a run on miler who's not necessarily looking for 2,000 metres? I think that's a genuine question at this point. So the big winner for the Ladbrokes Cox plate last weekend was Animo. He didn't go to the races because I don't think James Cummings would have been watching that Underwood Stakes and curling up in a ball, getting worried about Mooney Valley in a few weeks' time.
And I think the other question is too, I haven't, and I don't know, and I haven't heard any reports. Has Animo stepped out and done any fast work and had a serious gallop since his last start run where he did pull up lame? That's probably the other question mark on the Cox plate as well. Imagine, and let's hope that's not the case because it'll take a lot of the gloss off our great race if Animo wasn't there. Well, it's as open as the Sydney Heads, and Alligator Blood's probably a favourite.
And we don't know whether he'll get the 2,000.
No.
There's a lot of questions going in, and that's what makes horse racing great. There are always the questions. The question is now one that you might want to answer, Moods, because it doesn't affect one of your horses. Does a Melbourne Cup winner deserve a start in the Arc de Triomphe?
Yeah, well, you would think that's a totally ridiculous scenario that 11-time
group... No, it's not.
Sorry?
Well, it's not.
Why?
Well, there's rules. Once you've run twice in France, you're judged on those performances. Otherwise, you go in as an international. They've gone in thinking they're an international. They've run twice, shot their load, gone poorly, and now they're stuck with a French rating.
Well, she ran third in a group two the other day, didn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Third in a group two when you're straight into an arc, eh?
Well, there's horses above her that won a group one. One horse has won a group 2 mile race.
Yeah, but won it. I mean, what has happened in Australia has now been a race because they ran very elegant twice in France.
Right.
They needed to know the rules. I mean, I feel sorry for them.
When in Rome, respect the rules. But you would be pulling your eyebrows out because you got no hair if you were an owner of Very Elegant. Fair enough.
No, I feel sorry for them, but I don't like the outcry about European racing and how ridiculous are they. And it's basically a monumental stuff up that not even the French trainer knew that was the rule. So
well, and that is extraordinary. That is extraordinary that he did
the champion French trainer.
Yes, champion. That's right. So I mean, I understand it's a stuff up, but I also respect the fact that France Gallup is sitting there saying, well, we can't bend the rules, boys. Like, this is a problem, but what do you expect us to do about it? We can't. It calls for the field to be extended to 22.
No. You're not doing that. But the fact that a rating has dropped so significant in two runs is quite amazing.
The other thing it does sort of bring to the fore somewhat is that the different way that different jurisdictions do sort of treat international runners, even though Very Elegant technically now isn't classified as an international runner. But in Australia, especially in the last decade, we have rolled out the red carpet for international horses. If it was a similar situation, we'd bend every rule possible to get the horse in the race. We've done that in the past with some of these internationals that we've handicapped to get into a Melbourne Cup when on their bare form they probably shouldn't. So I think it probably shows how in Australia we do treat the internationals quite differently, while France, it's a different set of rules, but they are playing by their rules.
I mean, there's no precedent really for the French to surrender their values.
Next up, we have a mate dedication from Tim to Andy.
Andy, I'll never forget the day that you loaned me that slick tie so I could get into the members. Sorry, I lost it, champ.
Sounds like a legend. Ladbroker together this spring carnival with Mates Mo.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
The Valley Roar is officially back, and from just $175, there has never been a better time to become a Moonee Valley Racing Club member.
The Valley's rocking and the world is knocking!
Experience a centenary of legendary at the 2022 Ladbrokes Cox Plate, Australia's best race, Electric Night Racing, and the return of the All-Star Mile to the Valley. Get access to the best seats in the house in the Members Reserve and a free drink and race book at every race meeting. Amazing times await. Join today at thevalley.com.au.
There are four Group 1s this weekend across Australia, the one of which is at Flemington. It is the Turnbull Stakes. Rayman, run us through the market of what isn't a vintage edition of this race.
No, it's not a vintage edition of the race, Rog, but it's still an interesting betting race. Obviously, last year in this race, we saw Incentivise go toe-to-toe with Very Elegant, and that form, it stacked up pretty well. So the Turnbull is the race that shapes the spring. I've got a new video out on Ladbroke's social channels doing another deep dive where I do look at the history of the Turnbull Stakes and how that form filters into a Caulfield Cup, a Cox Plate and a Melbourne Cup. And
did you voice this one, Rayman, or is this...
No, I still got my man Dyden to look after the voiceover, I was on the tools.
Can you save us the bore and tell us what's in it?
Well, basically, history says that a winner of the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate or the Melbourne Cup will come out of the Turnbull Stakes, and sometimes all three. But last year we saw it with... Very Elegant won a Melbourne Cup coming out of a Turnbull. Incentivise won a Caulfield Cup coming out of a Turnbull. And Very Elegant came out of the Turnbull the year before to win a Caulfield Cup. So it's a particularly strong lead up to the Caulfield Cup. And a few of the horses that are right there in Caulfield Cup reckoning are on top of Turnbull Stakes betting here. Gold Trip is the $4 favourite. Douay was $3.80 out to $4.60 early. Profondo's there at $9.50. Young Verda ran an absolute cracker in this race behind Incentivise last year. He's $12. Allegro, they've bypassed the Metropolitan to run in this race, $13. It's right up there in Caulfield Cup betting, as is Inspirational Girl. So this is the key lead up to the Caulfield Cup. And I think Gold Trip does get in extremely well in at the weights here, 54.5 kilos. I guess the question mark now with Gold Trip is he a bit of a non-winner? He's only won once from his 12 race starts, but we've spent 15 minutes potting international ratings. But if you look at Gold Trip's international ratings, he's absolutely thrown into this race with 54.5 kilos. His two race starts back this prep off a lengthy break have been good. I think he's probably ready to peak here third up at 2,000 metres. I think we're going to look at a drier track than what he ran on last start here at Flemington on Saturday, which does suit him. So it's Gold Trip on top for me. Big watch on Douay, who is still the Caulfield Cup favourite, but probably been a little bit underwhelming in two race starts this preparation. But she does get out to her trip, her right trip at 2,000 metres. And we saw what she did in the autumn when she got out to the 2,000 metres of the Australian Cup, then went bang, bang, and stamped herself as a serious weight for age galloper. So this is her chance to return to her best form. And, you know, we listened to Mytho. Well, some of us listened to Mytho the other day, had a little ticket on Maximal at a big price in the Caulfield Cup, and he's come up $20 here. So he's drawn very nicely in Barrier 4. So he's had very little luck with the Barrier God since he's arrived in Australia, old Maximal, but he should get a nice run there from Barrier 4. So an interesting race in the key lead up to the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, it was interesting that, you know, Mytho or Moods was not keen to talk anyone into futures betting, but I know that you did, I did, and at least three of my mates have all had something on Maximal at 100-1. So Mytho certainly wasn't afraid to talk people into having a futures bet there. I also know going into this that we lined up in the same way, Rayman. Jewess is the winner at the Flemington 2000 out of that Australia Club, but I'm not sure she's going to be fully wound up for this. Bigger goals in mind, as has Gold Trip, but Gold Trip in at the weights. I tipped it last start, ran third, which cost me dearly. But I think it sets up really well down in the weights, and I think we'll see Gold Trip at a peak on Saturday.
I reckon it's an intriguing race because we are seeing quite a few horses out to their best trip. Is it the vintage edition? Maybe not right now, but as Raymond points out in his special edition deep dive into the Turnbull, it is a very good race to pointers to the big three. So we might look back in a month and go, gee, Turnbull wasn't a bad race after all. I think the Australian Cup got a fair old knock before Juais came out and went Wooshka and stamped herself as certainly queen of Australian middle distance racing. So sometimes you need to see the race before you judge it. And I reckon this is one of those cases. Juais, I don't know how to say it. I don't know which one you go with. But out to 2,000 metres, I'm prepared to say that she's probably the winner, although I love Gold Trip's run last start, and the drop in weight has been pointed out is to advantage. All I can tell you about Maximal was that I rang John O'Shea with the barrier draw live on RSN 927 this morning. I knew that he wouldn't be listening to a Victorian radio station. Those Sydney siders, they don't look south at all. He wouldn't have been aware that we drew four, rang him straight away and said, we've drawn four, and the track manager's saying we're likely to be on a good track with good weather forecast the next couple of days. And he simply said, time to bet up.
Oh, lovely.
Well, I've got to respect that. Maximal, I thought he was good in the Sydney Carnival. Anthony still hasn't paid up on his bet last start, where Profondo actually beat Maximal home on that unsavoury wet track. I think it was a pinch of salt to a pound of shit.
And yeah, the whole didn't I have all? I had all slabs that I owed you, double or nothing on Carlton Melbourne AFLW on the weekend when my little mini mouse got over the top of your big brute.
I thought racing and football are two different categories, aren't they? No,
I just said any slab I owe you, all up.
Oh, right.
We're square.
So I'm with Juais, third up winner last time. Not really keen on the fact that she had a trip to Melbourne, back to Sydney, now back to Melbourne. I hope they keep her down here now. I would imagine that would be the plan with Edward Cummings. I thought she's drawn nice, get a good run around midfield. I thought I think she's the best horse in the race. Profondo, I want to see him perform this way of going, and I think we'll see a massive improvement from him on a firm deck. But what experience he's had this way of going. He had one abysmal showing down here in the Guineas last year. His trainer took him home. I don't know if he's done any work or any education this way of going. I really don't know. I think he has the scope to be probably the best horse in the race, but I'm not sure where he's at in that mannerism. And keep an eye on Maximal. Gold Trip. Yeah, listen, I need to see him win one before I get carried away. Few of the others. Juais, call it whatever you like. Should be winning.
Daughter of Seamus Award.
Should be winning.
Well, that's what she'll get called on this show. That's no doubt about that. All right, let's head up to Sydney, the Flight Stakes. Let's start there, Rayman. What's the market saying?
Market says it's a race in two, Rods. Against Fireburn. Fireburn opened the favourite at 270. Zugotcha was $3.10. They've basically flipped places now. Zugotcha is the $2.90 favourite. Fireburn, $3.10. She's Extreme, $6.50. Wolverine, $7.50. I think it's a good addition of the Flight Stakes. And we see sort of two different form lines come together here. Fireburn, who was very good late in the Golden Rose. Got a long way back from the wide draw and stormed home to finish a gallant fifth there behind Jack and O, while Zugotcha has been set for the flight stakes the whole way through. Won the T-Rose, won the Silver Shadow, won the T-Rose, and Chris Waller's just got an outstanding record in the flight stakes. So I'm with Chris Waller here, and I'm with Zugotcha. Has just improved each time we've seen her at the races this preparation, and if she can go to it, she can go to another level on Saturday. I think will make her very tough to beat. Big advantage for mine is she's drawn barrier two. Generally, with the Chris Waller stable, that does mean that they will settle her closer to the speed. James McDonald in the saddle way, while Fireburn's drawn barrier nine. We know her normal racing pattern is to get back. So I think Zugotcha's going to have a fair head start in the straight. That could prove to be the difference. So I'm with number three, Zugotcha.
It was out of those two as well for me, but I've gone the other way. Fireburn, we know, gets through a heavy 10, no dramas. And I think she's going to relish a step back up to 1,600 and then beyond. And I think, yeah, she worked home well last start. I think she's the proven commodity here. And so I'm going to go with her. I'm not sure she's going to get – I'm surprised about the early drift on her price. And I don't know whether she's going to touch more than sort of 320, 330. So it's probably not – if you're seeing that price pop up over the next day or so, I'd jump on, because I don't think there'll be as big a discrepancy, a big discrepancy in their prices come race time. So Firebird for mine.
I think there's an absolute each-way special, throw as much cash on each way as you like, and not just because we bred it at Rosemont, but North Star Lass. I'm telling you, North Star Lass, they are saying that it's going to be Armageddon for Randwick on Saturday. That's the tip, isn't it, Rayman, that you're the right man to ask, you're well-named. It's going to be a heavy 15. So her best performance, gutsiest performance, was two starts ago when she got up the inside there on the bog track and nothing could make ground. I can see exactly this happening again with North Star Lass. She'll bounce up on the bunny. She's a fit horse out of the Waterhouse Bot stable. It's interesting to see. I think some corporates opened her as long as $18 or maybe even $16, but Ladbrokes were a bit smart on that, opened at 11 into 10s. So I'm all chips in here, each way, North Star Lass. Might even make it my bet of the weekend.
All chips in each way again, Moods, for Anthony Mithen.
A little bit left field, B. I'm with She's Extreme to beat Fireburn under the conditions that will prevail. We saw this in the mile two-year-old race back of the autumn under similar conditions. Zoo got you. I just think Zoo Star Philly, heavy 10-mile, question mark, and seeing out the strong trip at a mile, that could be the little worry there. So I'm with She's Extreme over Fireburn, and She's Extreme is probably 7 or 8 to 1, Rain Man?
6.50 at the moment, Moods.
All right, I thought it might have been slightly better, but I thought her run was equally as good as Fireburn in the Golden Rose. Fireburn's there as an afterthought. She's Extreme, even though ran in the same race, was always heading this direction. So, I think She's Extreme.
Weren't they going to give Fireburn a very light spring to target sort of autumn three-year-old racing, and now she's having three runs in 4 weeks? Is that right?
Well, you know, I think, yeah, this is there as an afterthought. I don't know. That's, you know, good luck to them.
Well, she might come up tougher and stronger, and you wouldn't doubt Gary Portelli. He's looking at him every day. But it's just interesting. She must have changed physically for them to have that view.
Yep, don't disagree.
All righty, let's take a look now at the Metropolitan, Rayman. No, actually, we'll save the Metropolitan. Let's go to the Epsom, because we'll go in race book order. And this is a very open race and looks a cracker as well.
Yeah, Ice Bath, the favourite here. Open to clear favourite, but I think by the time we get to a race day, it'll be a new favourite, and that will be top ranked. At the moment, Ice Bath, 370. There was as much as 550 bet yesterday, top ranked, now into $4, the clear market mover with Ladbrokes. Hinged is there at 550. Fangirl, $8. They're the horses at single figure odds. And you've got Group 1 winners like Converge at $18. But like, this is a race where the wet track is very important. The market's clearly saying for this race that we will see a wet track, because If we were racing on a good surface, there's just no way Icebark would be the favourite for this race. We know she's a very good wet tracker. In saying that, I still do think she's a false favourite at $3.70. We've seen her go awfully close in races like this before. She was very good in the George Main, so no real knocker on her. But she just isn't a proven winner, and we've seen her have opportunities to win, and she just can't get her nose down at the right time. So I think the market's got this one right with the move for Top Ranked here, who always promised to be a very, very classy galloper and was very impressive first up in the Bill Ritchie Handicap. Drawn perfectly, barrier four with Hugh Bowman in the saddle. We've got another racing video, I Love Broke's weekly racing story on our social channels at the moment about Top Ranked. And there, it's another horse sort of in a similar boat to I Wish I Win, where they're already eyeing off a Ludbrokes Cox Plate with Top Ranked. So I think if he can come out and win this Epson in impressive fashion on Saturday, he'd go into, as we touched on earlier, what shapes is a fairly open Ludbrokes Cox Plate, is a genuine winning chance. So he's on top for me. If for some miracle this rain doesn't come and we do end up racing on even just a soft surface, I think Fangirl can run a mighty race. But the big question mark for her is the heavy track. She did not like it at one bit during the autumn. So if on a heavy track, I do have my doubts about Fangirl. But if we did get a better racing surface, I've always thought she looked like the perfect Epson Handicap horse.
I'm going with Hinged, another Chris Waller runner. I think it absolutely thrown in at the weights here. Is going to appreciate the 1600 metres at Randwick and the wet conditions. Certainly, we know that Hinge handles that, no dramas whatsoever. So I think at $5.50, she's proven on the track, and with that weight on her back, I think Hinged is the one that I want to be with in a pretty open race. But yeah, look, there's obviously a big watch. Icebath, it's an amazing stat. Run placings in multiple group ones and never won a stakes race.
$4.5 million in prize money, never won a stakes race.
It's unbelievable.
What a country. But
it does speak to the amount of prize money being offered in the state where it races the most. But yeah, look, I'm going with Hinged in this one. They can't get a run. They might not get Barry Allegan into the arc, but that same ownership group might get a group one here with Hinged.
I reckon the market's got one wrong here, and prepared again to be a strong bet each way on Nimalee. Love her at the back up here. She beat the favourite Ice Bath and the Queen of the Turf on a heavy 10 back in April. And that's good enough for me to say, well, why not Nimalee at the $13 Ladbrokes and others are offering. So they're my thoughts. Regan Bayless riding well. Matty Smith knows how to get him ready. And impressive last week. Horses backing up into the Epsom have got a good record normally. So expect a heavy 10. Expect Nimalee to be right in the finish. And just count the cash at the $13 Rain Man. Thanks for coming.
Is this why have we got 11 runners in one of our time-honoured big mile handicaps? This is a race that have 18 or 20 runners and emergencies.
It's a bit in and out, Pete. It is a bit in and out. I looked at those stats earlier today, and I reckon probably 5 out of the last 8 years, might not be that many, might be 4, have had similar size fields. So whether or not there is, you're spoiled for choice, aren't you? Ladbrokes Cox Plates coming up. There's mile races in Melbourne. People are, do you want your grand final to come this soon in spring, or you're waiting for, you still got Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day plus 4 days of Flemington. So I don't know. It's interesting. History says that it's not always capacity fit.
Yeah. I wondered why the last 2 weeks I've been getting a call from Racing New South Wales Racing Department to see what I was doing with I Wish I Win every other day. And then I realised quickly that this race of 1.5 million was quite devoid of runners. So,
the one that they should have been asking about is the Hill Stakes, which is it's fair dinkum a 2,000-metre trial for 5 horses running around for $1 million.
Yeah, well, we've just been talking about there was some doubt on the quality of the Turnbull, which I don't see because I think Duas is at the top of the tree there. But it shows that the ranks are probably quite low, and we're probably going to see that in a minute when we talk about the Metropolitan. I thought Top Rank was very good first up. How's he going to perform on a heavy 10? Interesting. Not sure there. Ice Bath's always going to be a great hope. J-Mac in the saddle and hinged. Yeah, listen, I'm nearly a pineapple. I'm a pineapple. I'm a pineapple Epsom handicap horse. We're allowed one pineapple a week, and I'm throwing the pineapple at you.
I think I'm going to be taking my pineapple in the last race we're going to look at, the Metropolitan, because, Rayman, run us through the market, but to me it just says pineapple on every line of betting.
Yeah, I think Moods used his pineapple one race early here. It's certainly not a vintage edition of the Metropolitan. I labelled it earlier today as a glorified Calandra Cup. And we've actually got the last two winners of the Calandra Cup in this field. And they're right in the market, LaDonde V and Stockman. They're second and third line of betting, respectively. Durston, the Newcastle Cup winner, is the favourite at $3.70. Bit of money for Grove Ferry, $9.50 into $8.50. Surefire, the hype's sort of gone off it a little bit now. It's $10, no compromise, $12. Very open race, very tricky race. Durston was good in the Newcastle Cup, but I can't get it anywhere near as short as that off the $3.70. The wet track is definitely good for Stockman. We saw it in the autumn, ran really well in the Tancred Stakes behind Douay. Went on a really heavy surface there, and he's been racing really well without necessarily looking like a winning chance in these races. I still think his first up run in the Wink Stakes over 1400 meters was the best second last I've ever seen. He absolutely savaged the line. So Stockman right in the mix for me there as well. And Chris Waller, we know he loves this day. He's got a good record in the Metropolitan, and I think No Compromise might be the best of his chances. Drawn nicely with Tommy Berry in the saddle, does have good soft and heavy track form. Was better than it looks like. His run was better than it looks on paper in the Kingston Town. He did run some of the fastest closing sectionals away from Allegro and Benno, who both aren't in the race. So if I'm having one bet in the race, it's No Compromise at $12. But Stockman in the wet will also be in the mix.
Yeah, and that's the way I'm going, because, like I said, it's basically a pineapple on every line for me. And on a heavy track at a mile and a half, I can't see why it can't be Stockman. So, you know, there's $8 there for the taking. Maybe I'll have $10 on it and just hope for the best. But yeah, I've got zero confidence, but I'm going to go Stockman for the sake of a tip.
Yeah, I'll find one at odds here, and why not the Cucaracha, Brenton Abdullah, handles the wet, one in the wet, up to its trip, and will be fitter. And you can just see one of those Chris Wallace sort of outsiders, third up over a trip, been proven over that trip and proven in the ground. Everyone's going to sit back and go, oh, yeah, it's run well and it's won the Metro. Good on them at $34. I'm glad I had a ticket.
Well, I think the most interesting fact out of this race is the King. King Charles III has his first runner on Australian soil as the new owner of Chalkstream, who's taken over the racing stable of his mother, the late Queen Elizabeth II. That's probably the most interesting fact of the race.
I'm going to agree with you there, Moose. That is the most interesting fact of the race.
Yeah, yeah. And I had a look at the ownership, and it's listed as the King, not King Charles III, in the Australian racing system, owner, the King.
Not it's good to be King. King.
The King.
Oh, Callow.
Good to be the King.
Chalkstream. So, and Cathy O'Hara has the honour of riding it. Its form is not as terrible as probably some of the others in the race either. So,
have you met the King, Pete? We know you met the Queen. Have you met the King?
No. No. I wonder if Chris will be having his early morning chat with the King, as he used to do with the Queen before a runner. So it'll be quite interesting. We might be able to get Chris on the show next week and ask him if he had to ring the King.
Are you still friends with Chris? We haven't established that.
Yeah, no. Chris and I had a very warm and chatty conversation at Rose Hill on the weekend. I'm friends with all my compatriots out there in the racing world, Rog.
Cuddles, Petey? Did you have cuddles?
Cuddles, yeah, cuddles. Listen, I'm going to stick with him here too. He's got 7 of the 15 runners. Durston's in winning form. Let's winners keep winning. He's won his last couple. Yeah, why not? Durston to continue on his winning way for Highclere, another European conglomerate. Highclere and the King battling it out. Durston and Chalkstream. There you go, a bit of history there.
Such a royalist, Peter.
Well, the Queen used to stay at Highclere, I think it was, which is the house used for Downtown Abbey when she used to visit her stud, I believe. I think I read that somewhere. So there you go. A little bit of a twist there for you.
I dare say that no one, none of the other three of us are going to challenge you on that fact.
So he's the most unlikely royalist of the four of us, isn't he? Big Pete sort of just right sort of front and square there with the royal jewels. Love it.
Mm. Yeah. Speaking of which, my crown jewels are getting quite chilly here this evening, so we'll move on to best bets.
Here we have a mate dedication from Cam to Eddie. Over to you, Cam.
Thanks, champ. This is for my best mate, Eddie. He backed the rough in our pot, and it got up for the lads.
Great stuff. And don't forget to Ladbroke it together this spring carnival with Mates Mo.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
All right, we've got to warm up Pete's crown jewels, so he's got to get inside to the open fire. Let's get to the best bets. Just a running tally. We all went shit house. Thank God for I wish I win with moods. But Rayman, you gave out two best bets last week, neither one, so maybe just stick to one this week.
I will stick to one this week, Rog. I'm going to Flemington race 3, number 1. She's lickety split. Got Boogie Dancer form this filly. She came out of New Zealand. Fairly highly rated there. And I thought she was good the other day in that race that Boogie Dancer absolutely dominated, but she certainly was a disgrace. Lucked the turn of foot to go with Boogie Dancer when the acceleration came there. But I do think she'll be improved from that effort. And on exposed form, she's got a clear class edge here, in my opinion, over the rest of this Edward Manifold Stakes field. So race 3, number 1, she's lickety split on top for me.
No, I like it, Rayman. Anything with Boogie Dancer form is a winner for me. I'll be having something on She's Lickety Split, that's for sure. I'm going to go to race 5 for mine, and that is the Dane Hill Stakes. I know Peter Moody and Luke Nolan have got Brereton in this one, and there's a couple of Victorian Breeding Alliance horses in for Mytho, but I'm going to go away from them. I'm going to go with Giga Kick, the undefeated Giga Kick, 3 from 3. Clayton Douglas making his way in the training world. Looks like he's got a really good one here. I think Giga Kick after the win in the Vane Stakes can extend that picket fence just a little bit further. I'm not sure how we'll go after this one, but I think Giga Kick for mine to make it 4 from 4. He's had his runs well spaced in his career, and I think he's ready to roll yet again. 2.35 currently on Ladbrokes.
Got a few runners to speak of, Rog. Some interesting runners for the team Rosemont, the red team on Saturday there at Flemington. In the first, a 2-year-old in the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes, an exceed filly called Aditi. Now, she's jumped out of the ground the last couple of weeks. Always liked her. She's a beautiful style of filly. But the last couple of weeks, the barometer's gone risen from the Waterhouse Bot team. And always a bit hard to get a gauge, as Pete would understand with Gay when she talks one up and you get the text message on Tuesday morning that the filly will be winning on Saturday. You just want to temper that a little. So caught up with Blake Shin this morning, who gave her a similar push. So you can bet with a little bit of confidence about Aditi headed the right way in the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes. So I hope that gives you a bit of a leg up on a 440 chance first starter. Hard to know what you're up against, of course, with them all being first starters. In the Dane Hill, I'll let Pete talk to Brereton, who's got a massive chance and massive overs, but Dool has been particularly pleasing on the track for Team Friedman. Mark Zara dumped us like a hot potato to go and ride in a B-grade Group 1 in France, aboard Very Elegant, and we had to switch tack and go to Jamie Carr. She had a sit yesterday and couldn't believe the style of horse he was. She's been trying to get on this horse for a little while, actually. So Jamie pretty keen to leg up on Dool in the Dane Hill. And Maximal, we've spoken about. So that's the Rosemont runners. If I have to pick one, I'm probably going Aditi in the first to kick off Turnbull Stakes Day in style.
Well, let's hope we get the good ground that's promised at Flemington on Saturday. That'll be a massive plus. And let's hope Sydney does miss the deluge that is forecast for one of the great days racing up there, the three Group 1s. But it's going to make it very hard to be confident in Sydney with not knowing quite about the weather. The little boutique stable, 3 runners this weekend. We started off in race 3, horse 3, Do It La. I thought she was very good in beating the older mares last start at Flemington. She's in great order, heads into this race. Really pleased with her overall condition. And the feel I get at home is she's not too far off the likes of Boogie Dancer and Waltz on By, who would be very strong in the market in this. So I think she's an excellent each way hope in race three. I agree with Mitho's sentiments. I reckon Burton's ridiculous overs in the Dane Hill Stakes. He was playing first up. He didn't appreciate the shifting ground. Probably the biggest concern here is he's drawn down low in one. And the favourite Gigatrix Kick has drawn outside, probably in the ideal marble, and he will be very hard to beat. But I reckon you'd put Burton in your multiples. I saw him listed as strong as $33 to $51, but I thought that was silly. But my best for the weekend is probably in race nine, horse number three, Red Sun Sensation. I think he will really appreciate getting out to the 1,800. Drawn a soft alley to get a nice run second half. He will improve dramatically on top of the ground, this horse, and has really been crying out for this trip. So my best of the weekend, race nine, horse three, Red Sun Sensation each way. And as we always do, I don't know if there's too many of them out there this weekend. We've got the Premier Stakes and the Gilguy, but Nature Stripes at home in his stables. But please try and let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.